Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake.
It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
The following is an exclusive presentation of the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League.
Yeah! Touchdown! Touchdown! Panthers!
Panther Talk. Panther Talk. Panther Talk. This is Panther Talk. Presented by McDonald's on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Here comes the line, just a sack, and the ball is loose.
Carolina recover,
and it's a touchdown, and the Panthers have done it.
The snap to Hoyer, he backs up, pass the ball once, twice, in trouble, bump down, sacked at the 45-yard line.
You're going to win football games in this league. You've got to be able to win up front, and we were able to do that today. You know, very fortunate. This is a good young football team, I think, that's got an opportunity to grow. And, you know, they're going to be somebody to reckon with down the road.
And now, along with Jim Soke and Eugene Robinson, here's Mick Mixon with Panther Talk, live from the Red Zone at Bank of America Stadium.
Your Carolina Panthers out of the gates 1-0. We will talk a ton of football tonight, but on the 16th anniversary of September 11th, 2001, and with Hurricane Irma raking the Eastern Seaboard, we're going to start Panther Talk tonight in a little bit of a brief but non-traditional way. With us tonight from the United States Marine Corps, Sergeant Raymond Green, Sergeant Edward Gentry, Sergeant Tyler Good, and Sergeant James Spence. From the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department, James Helton and his son Keenan, and Travis Pandu and son Evan. Travis Pardew, rather. Thank all of you for your service, for your dedication. Also tonight with us, we have Dave and his son, Ethan, who were here from Florida. They came up to escape the hurricane and landed here at Panther Talk. Happy to have them also as part of our Panther Talk family. Coach Ron Rivera, Eugene Robinson, Jim Soke, my name again is Mick. Coach, to what degree does the military history in your family give you a special appreciation for the anniversary we celebrate today?
Well, the biggest thing, more so than anything else, is, you know, is my father served his family. They all served. My wife's family, they served as well. So I have a tremendous amount of respect and appreciation for the military. And then my oldest brother, Steven's a retired police officer, you know, first responder. And, you know, so I most certainly do appreciate who those folks are for us.
Absolutely. I know you've traveled in your off season and doing some work in that regard as well, Coach. Football season is upon us, regular season-wise. I guess kind of your overall thoughts of what you saw on the field yesterday. There's a lot of strength being shown with the way the offense ran the clock out at the end, all on the ground there, and the way the defense got after it with four quarterback sacks in the first half.
You know, it was very pleasing to watch the way we played, and also to some degree a little disappointing, partly because of the opportunities we missed. You know, as a coach, you're never really satisfied. You look at things and say, oh, we should have done this, we could have done this, we didn't do that. And everybody tells me, relax, enjoy the victory, which I do to a degree. But also, I have to be realistic and I have to be honest with ourselves as we watch this tape and we look at these things that we see. And we go, wow, we missed this and we didn't do that and we're better than that. And that's really what keeps us grounded, I think, is that as long as we're honest with ourselves, you know, we have to make sure we go out and correct these things, because winning does tend to mask some of your warts. And we have to, you know, we have to be realistic about, you know, we had a chance to do some better things. We didn't do them well enough.
And Coach, you said last year that this team had to evolve and the offense had to evolve. And you bring in McCaffrey, got a lot of touches yesterday. Coach, what we saw in preseason and really moving to a running back centric and offensive line centric offense, is that what you mean about the evolution of what needs to happen?
To a degree, I think, Eugene. I mean, one of the things that I did last year in terms of studying and looking at us as a football team and the history of our football team since I've been here, the thing that's very interesting is if you go back to the 2013 season and you look at these two stats, when we rush for 100 yards and we hold our opponent under 100 yards rushing, we win 70% of the time. I mean, that's the honest truth. When we take the football away and we win the takeaway battle, we are 31-2-1. winning 91% of the time. So you look at these things and say, this is what we have to be, guys. We have to be a physical, downhill, attacking the line of scrimmage team, whether we be on offense running the ball or on defense playing, you know, stopping the run. And then we've got to be able to protect the ball and take the ball away. Yesterday, we ended up winning. We ended up tying the takeaway battle. We got two, they got two. But the place that we also won was in special teams, in spite of the two penalties that were self-inflicted on both punt returns, which would have given Christian an average of about 16, 17 yards of return. We still won the field position battle. And so, you know, coupled with the way we played, we should have won that game, and we could have won that game in better fashion.
Good teams, balanced teams, have the ability to close out games in the NFL. Coach, how did your team come off of the one-half-yard line and evaporate the final 8:48 of the game yesterday? What were the keys to doing that?
Well, I think the biggest thing, more so than anything else, was the surge up front. When you look at the tape, and one of the real interesting things, you know, that I always tend to do when I watch tape is I'll watch the game, you know, in its entirety from both fields of vision in terms of the sideline and end zone. But then when I come back and I watch it a second time, I watch it just from the perspective of behind the line of scrimmage. And I'll watch the offensive line play or the defensive line play. And on that particular play you're talking about, the surge was there where we pushed, got the crease, and then when Jonathan hit it, we were at least a yard and a half into their defensive backfield. So when Jonathan hit it, he hit it for a 4.5-yard gain, which was outstanding. Then the very next push was even better. And that's what you look for. Is you look for a surge. You look for, you know, being able to knock them back, knock them off the ball. And that's what we did successfully. When you go back and you look at it on the inverse as a defense, and you always say, okay, where do we have to win? Well, we have to win at the line of scrimmage as a defense. If you're winning behind their line of scrimmage, it's even bigger. But just to win and stalemate and then make plays for no gain or negative gain, that's huge. And as a defense, we were able to do that. We had several stops that were at or behind the line of scrimmage.
Do you feel as though you're underutilizing Luke Kuechly and only using him on defense and not on offense after the hands he displayed on that interception yesterday?
Oh, you know, he really has a tremendous feel for what's going on in the game. Great space area awareness. And by that I mean when he's in coverage, he feels, and it's one of the things that when you talk about, you know, you talk to him about, hey, what did you want to improve when you first got here? He'll tell you it was his coverage abilities. And the thing I think that really helps him is that he understands the game, he studies the game, which I think it heightens his awareness in his zones and his area. And he rolled and felt that receiver coming across so nicely that he caught the ball, you know,
yes,
falling back inside, which was really tremendous. And I believe Brian Hoyer came out and said, you know, they were looking to make that play on the other side. They didn't think he'd be able to fall back like he did.
Coach, one thing that you guys have been able to do effectively in that game is take away the stretch run. And because your linebackers are so fast to the ball, it's not only your guys up front, but can you also talk about just the play of the linebackers? Because I go back into the preseason game against the Vikings. When they played, the Vikings linebackers were in disarray, but our linebackers were not in disarray at all.
The biggest thing, more so anything else, that really helped us in this game was really the play of our two defensive tackles. I think if you go back and you watch the way KK and Star played, and you throw Kyle Love in there as far as run stoppers, those three guys are what I like to call space eaters. You know, they take up a lot of space. They don't allow the center guard combinations to release freely up to the next level, and that allows our linebackers to run. Luke gets to run, and we see his tremendous athletic ability show up. TD gets to run, and we see that burst, that closing speed. And then you see Shaq with his opportunity to run and his ability to close as well. That really accounts for why teams, you know, if we're protecting our linebackers and letting them run, we're going to make plays at or behind the line of scrimmage. And that's a great example of why. It's really the play of that combination of those three guys up front this past game. As long as our defensive ends are stretching the plays out, making those guys bounce sideways, our linebackers, our safeties will get downhill and can make plays for us.
Everybody knows how good Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis are. Coach Rivera, has Shaq Thompson taken his game to a new plane?
He has. You know, he's an unknown commodity, which is great for us. You know, the less people know about him, the better, as far as I'm concerned, just because, again, their preparation is all built around, you know, just those two guys. Well, now you got to start thinking about who's our third guy. Well, our third guy is a pretty doggone good football player. And we have to find ways to utilize his talents a little bit more. You know, Shaq only played half the defensive plays. And again, for a guy that's a playmaker, you know, we have to be creative and give him opportunities to stay on the field.
Mike Adams will be our player guest in the second half of the show tonight. So maybe expand about, and everyone get to meet him here, expand a little bit about what he's brought, and coupled with that, Captain Munnerlyn, bringing two veterans into that secondary.
Well, we're really pleased with the way the safeties played. I thought they played downhill. I thought they put themselves in position to make plays, and a couple times they made some critical stops for us out in space. And, Eugene, you know how hard that is, you know, when you're the last line of defense and that guy's coming right at you, and it's not a constricted area. I mean, it's the width of the field. And both Mike and Kurt came up and made some solo tackles that were spectacular. What you see is you see a calming veteran presence out there with Mike, and that really kind of settles, I think, the young corners down. I think it's very good for Kurt to have a guy that understands and can feel the game like he does. It allows Kurt to play. Kurt played an outstanding game. He made a lot of big plays and played a very physical, aggressive game. Captain came in, did a nice job for us at the nickel position, was never really stressed. You know, the thing he's got to understand is that, you know, he's here. He's got to understand that, you know, those techniques you learned from that other team for 4 years in a row, you've got to get rid of. You've got to play within the framework of the way we do things. He's got tremendous quickness, and that's really the strength that he has. When you watch him do the things that he does, he puts himself in position to make plays, and that's why we brought him back again. You know, I was real pleased with the way the secondary showed for us.
Coach, is it a matter of philosophy and you allowing your coaches to do what they're doing? Because we see such an aggressive style of defensive calling on that side of the ball. Is that something by design, or are you just letting your guys?
No, I'm letting Steve do what Steve does. You know, I did the same thing with Sean. I let Sean do what Sean does. You know, Sean really was a little bit more about scheme and you know, trying to attack certain elements of the opponent. Steve is really about what we do and how we do it, as opposed to this is what we do, this is how we got to make what we do fit our opponent and attack our opponent, which is a different kind of philosophy from Sean. Sean really matched and tried to, you know, hey, you know, they tend to do this, they tend to do this, this fits better. Steve says, okay, this is what we do and this is how we do it, this is what they're going to try and attack us with it, we got to counter that way. It is a little bit different. Steve is a little bit more aggressive in terms of his play calling. Sean was a little bit, like I said, scheme oriented.
And because of that, what I saw with Coach Wills, I saw a lot of one-on-one matchups because your backers are up there and now you're creating one-on-one matchups against the offensive line.
Absolutely. And what happens when you create those one-on-ones, somebody's going to miss. And that happened four times for us. Somebody's going to get overly aggressive. Somebody's going to step down when they shouldn't. Somebody's going to turn out when they shouldn't. Just those types of little details. And because of that, you can get immediate pressure. And hopefully it happens through the middle of your defense, because that's where you really want that quick pressure on the quarterback, force the ball out of his hands.
Ron Rivera tonight on Panther Talk. We're in the red zone, Bank of America Stadium. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you guys for being here. Coach, you got a question today at your press conference. I thought you might sidestep it, but you provided a unique window into how you think about your football team early in the season. The question was about what you might have wanted to use if the game had been longer, or if you could have used more different combinations of some receivers, get the ball to Samuel more. I think this audience would be interested in your repurposing your answer today.
Well, the big reason, more so than anything else, is I most certainly would, just because, you know, again, when you have as many playmakers as it looks like we have, you know, from what we've seen through the preseasons and now, you want to get those guys on the field and you want them exposed, because now what happens is the opponent has to not just prepare for who you have on the field and what they do, but now that group of potential playmakers gets bigger. Okay, the best thing I saw was we had eight different targets for our quarterback. I thought that was outstanding. You know, Cam threw to eight different targets. Well, now, as I look at things, oh, you know, we got to be concerned that when they have this group on, this guy becomes a potential threat, and then that guy becomes a potential threat. I would have loved to have seen Curtis Samuels get a few more opportunities, Demir Byrd get a few more opportunities, just because now that creates, and Fozzie Whitaker, now that creates a little bit more doubt and a little bit more work for the opponent in terms of preparation for the next time, you know, for when we play them.
All right, Coach, the final thing, we'll let you go. Obviously, Buffalo and the home opener coming up this week, and you just referenced Coach McDermott a few minutes ago. Obviously, a lot of it is about what you do and what you execute, but the familiarity between both coaching staff, so to speak, how does that maybe change the dynamic of the preparation this week?
Well, it really won't change the dynamic more so than anything else, though. I think it's going to change some of the communication things that we use going forward, obviously. You know, and in fact, probably no one, you know, their general manager up there, who I won't mention his name. He's probably listening right now through the internet.
Getting some intel.
Stop it, Beanie.
Exactly. So I know you're listening, Bean, so take that.
but I thought you were going to mention him.
But we have to, you know, we do have to think about that, you know, not just the familiarity with the coaches and general manager, but also some of the couple of the players. You know, they got Mike Tolbert up there who played well the other day. I got a chance to watch some of that game. He scored a touchdown. I didn't see Clay. I didn't see if he had gotten Kalen gotten the opportunities out there, but he's another young man that was here that, you know, was very instrumental for us in the preseason, so much so that they really were looking for that type of guy. We were looking for a corner, and we were able to swap. And that's another thing too is you know, we got Keon Seymour here, who's, you know, going to help us out as well.
Mm-hmm. We'll get you a copy of Buffalo Bills Talk off their radio network.
Yeah, good call, Zoe. Can y'all thank Coach Ron Rivera for the classy way he represents you on and off the football field? Great win yesterday, Coach. Thanks again for being here.
All right, Mick. Thanks. Always good to be here.
Nice seeing you as well, Coachy.
That was heartfelt the way you said that.
Me and Coachy were like this. And this is me right
here. Like this far apart right now.
You know, he is probably the most intrusive of all the people around here. Every time I turn around, he needs something.
Who are you talking about? Don't make me come over there.
Off to break we go.
All right.
This is Panther Talk, brought to you by Miller Lite, the light beer that's always brewed for more taste. Miller Lite, hold true. Bank of America, official bank of the Carolina Panthers. AT&T, proud sponsor of the Carolina Panthers. AT&T, entertainment your way.
Seven-step drop, Boyer, sack from behind, balls out, pounced on by the Panthers. We will see. Is it a fumble? It is. Carolina Panther football. Newton from a muddy pocket flicks a pass, caught left side, deep down the sideline. Russell Shepard breaks away and will score a touchdown. Carolina Panthers, 40 yards. Cam Newton to Russell Shepard.
Well, the number one thing is violence and effort. And that goes across the whole board, whether you're in the front seven or in the back four. Violence and effort. And I think throughout the day, we play with that. We want to be able to play smart. We want to be able to take the ball over. And we want to be able to just create havoc, you know, for the quarterbacks, for the running backs, and stop the run. And I thought we did a great job. We gave some big runs. We'll be able to correct those on some of the blitzes that we had. But I think overall, we did a great job as a defense.
Exactly the credo that your broadcast crew takes to every press box around the NFL. Violence and effort. Our broadcast roundtable is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. We told you earlier that on the 16th anniversary of 9-1-1, we have United States Marine Corps Sergeants Green, Gentry, Good, and Spence here. We also have Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department officers Jason Helton and Travis Pardue here. On behalf of the Carolina Panthers, it is our honor to tell you decorated servants that you're being invited with a guest to this Sunday's game versus the Buffalo Bills. You'll also be invited to watch pregame warmups from the sidelines. And if you cannot get time off, you have your bosses call us. We'll make the magic happen. All right. So during the broadcast, I guess middle third quarter, Zoke, you said that the headline story of the game to that point was the Carolina Panther defense. They ended up playing very well. Eugene, you've been a part of some very good NFL defenses. How good could this unit be?
Well, Coach alluded to it. He talked about the three technique, one technique guys, which is Starla Tule, K-1 Short, K-Love, and how much push they get up on, in the middle of that little guard, center, guard gap. Well, the reason why our backers flow so fast to the ball is because they smash that gap up in front, and they create so much havoc. And because they create so much havoc, it's pickings out there to go ahead. All you kind of have to do is go ahead and eat, whether that's the safeties or the linebackers, because of the havoc. And I tell you what, if they continue to do that, you're going to watch. You're going to see from the outside Charles Johnson, Mario Addison, and you're going to see tons of sacks because – those three, or those two guys, taking three guys, creates one-on-one matchups. Those guys are really good. Our front seven is the best thing smoking in the league and the best thing smoking, in my opinion, on this team.
And there's such depth with it that you can have fresh legs all four quarters and keep that pressure on, not only when you have Vernon Butler up and healthy
coming up
at defensive tackle, but at defensive end, when you're bringing Julius Peppers essentially off the bench, you've got Mario Addison, Charles Johnson, Wes Horton comes in, gets the biggest sack of all because he forced a fumble and a turnover on that play. I mean, those guys aren't going to be as worn down because we talk about how Pep's only going to play about 25 snaps. I don't know what he played exactly yesterday. But for all those guys, for Charles Johnson, for everybody going through 16 games like that, they're going to have the opportunity to stay fresher longer because they won't have to play every down because you got so many good players in there.
Indeed. And here's another thing what they do well, and it was really kind of demonstrated by K.K. Short. I saw a lot with K.K. Short. It's that punch with their hands. They were taking their hands on stretch plays, punching the shoulder and turning the shoulder. I mean, you got to hit a guy and turn the shoulder to create space to get up the football field. And I watched K.K. Short, Starler Tulay, time after time, eating in the backfield. I'm like, my goodness, the technique is absolutely beautiful. And you watch this week going forward against the Buffalo Bills when they were in a lot of stretch plays. K.K. Short and Starler Tulay can be in the backfield all day long because of the great hands and technique those guys displayed out there.
Stoned them on 4th-and-1 a couple of times. That's demoralizing to an opposing offense. Our injury updates brought to you by Ortho Carolina's Urgent Care Centers. Khalil lost a shoe, maybe a minor little lower leg thing. Yeah. Sat a play out, came right back. The young corners each had to leave, apparently to get possibly some fluids, cramping up on a hot day. Anything else I'm not thinking of, guys?
The thing about that was you had your two starting corners cramping up at the same time. What are the odds? At the same position, you have two players go down at the same time, but they both came back and played a few plays later, like you said.
All right, y'all about ready for Mike Adams?
We are, yep. Indeed.
Ready to meet one of the elite safeties in the National Football League. That's coming when Panther Talk rolls on next on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Hoyer all alone has to get rid of the ball quickly. He's bumped, keeps his balance, bumped again, keeps his balance, and then tackled by Julius Peppers for a sack.
4th-and-4 from the Carolina 44. The snap to Hoyer. He backs up. Pass the ball once, twice in trouble. Bump down. Sacked at the 45-yard line.
Thomas Davis comes on the sack.
Well, I think we had a really good performance. You know, we did a really good job in really sudden change situations when they went for it on 4th down. Or, you know, we had a fumble in the fourth quarter, and we were able to do a good job of keeping them out of the end zone and actually, you know, taking points off the board when they were in scoring position. So I think all in all, we did a good job defensively. We'll go back to the film next week and we'll find out what some of the things that we need to correct and continue to get better as a defense.
Back to Mick Mixon, Jim Soakie, and Eugene Robinson with Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
While all that's going on in the big voice and all, we were watching some of the highlights of the game. And Brian Hoyer is 6'2", 215 pounds. But yesterday, the Panthers made him look like an insurance adjuster at times out on the football field.
Yes,
there were probably times where he wished he was an insurance adjuster yesterday.
There was times where he needed one.
Oh, my goodness.
My good performance by the D. Okay, before the Zoke introduces our player guest, Eugene, we failed to mention another law enforcement officer who is here today on 9/11.
Yeah, Deputy Sylvia Deese is here, right here.
Yeah.
To our left. She sat up, and she always comes to Panther Talk. And typically, she's out of the uniform, but thank you for your service. Indeed.
All right,
Zoe. We appreciate you.
It's safety talk tonight.
Safety talk, so we'll lose Eugene for the last half. Actually, you'll lose us. You'll have Eugene for the next half hour. But he's new to the Panthers, but he's not new to the NFL in his 14th year. Two-time Pro Bowl performer out of Delaware, where he majored in communications.
Oh,
Mike Adams is with us tonight.
You know the press is on now, right?
I know it.
The press is on.
Now, we've heard him speak. He's good at that.
Indeed.
He's good at speaking and football. So, Mike, overall, as you look back at yesterday, how did everything grade out on the defensive side for you guys?
I thought we did pretty well. I know some things that we got to work on that a lot of people don't see that when we go back to the film and, like, you know, we got to have leverage and we got to do this or tackle better. It's always something you can work on, even when you come out with a victory like that. But overall, for the first game, I thought we played pretty well.
Mm-hmm. What made you decide to come to Carolina? And what did you see in the secondary or this defense that allowed you to go ahead and say, I want to sign here?
Front seven.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you know, that's like a defensive back's dream when you're playing with a front seven as good as we have, you know. And the ball has to come out, and as it was proven yesterday, you know. But that's the things you look for when you're a free agent. Who's the quarterback? Who's our quarterback? And then who we have in the front seven. So that played a major role.
Mike Adams made the Pro Bowl at age 34, again at age 35. If he makes it this year, he would be a Pro Bowler 3 of the last 4 seasons in the league. Mike, how have you been able to play your best ball in your 30s?
Wine.
It's not the first time you said that.
Yeah, no, I know. No, I do all the little things, you know, and I told somebody this before. I think I was preserved early in my career because, you know, I was a reserve player. I played nickel. I played dime. I came in on third down situations. Then I really haven't been starting and playing full time and probably to my fifth, sixth year in the league. And then the game slowed down for me at that point, you know, and me playing at a high level, I mean, that's other than playing at a high level and doing the MAT, ART, the cold tub, hot tub, yoga. I do a lot of little things. I have a Rocky workout like in off season, so I don't really touch weights. I do like calisthenics. I run up hills and do all that other stuff. I'm old school.
Yeah, I hear you.
Which was the Rocky where he carried the tree trunk when he was in Russia, like through the woods and all that?
I must break you.
Hard to replicate that. So you began with San Francisco in your career, Cleveland, Denver, Indianapolis, and obviously different stadium, different organization now. But what were your memories of starting your career with the 49ers and when you were back over there? Did you get up with any folks from back when you played with the Niners organization?
Actually, I didn't get up with anybody, but I was surprised how many people that I knew that worked in the organization. Mm-hmm. You know, I had posted a picture of me being there my rookie year and me now. I look the same, by the way.
That's good. That Rocky workout is working.
One gray hair. I'm trying to get away. Just one. No, but it was different. It was exciting going back. That was my first time playing in Levi's Stadium because I was in Candlestick.
Right.
Yeah. So I think I officially played in all 32 stadiums.
That's good.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
My goodness.
Except for the new one. We got a new Atlanta.
Atlanta. Yeah, you'll see that later.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the communication and what needs to happen on a football field as you communicate with your safety and also with the corners. Because in the secondary, we'll say if you mess up in the secondary, that could be a touchdown easily. So you have to be on point. So just talk about the communication that goes back and forth and what you guys talk about.
Okay, from the beginning when we get the call.
Yeah, when you get the call.
So when we get the call in from the coach, Luke Kuechly tell us the call while I look over at the coach and tell everybody else what personnel the offense is coming out in. Whether it's 11 personnel, 12 personnel, that depending on the down and distance. And once I give that, Kurt, he will relay the call that Luke said to me. And then I would relay it to the corner. He would relay it to the other corner. And then as they come line up, and as they come line up on my side, if I'm on the tight end side, I would tell Darrell Worley, hey, we playing this. And on opposite side, Kurt Coleman would say, hey, we're playing this. And then I would look at Kurt and make sure we're on the same page. And we're like, okay, you go down, I go back, or I go down, you go back. And then we just play from there. It sounded like a lot.
It does sound like a lot.
But that happened in a couple seconds.
Yeah, how long does that happen? How long does the time and space that happens in before you get all that communication done?
All that done in probably like 5 to 7 seconds.
As they're coming out.
Coming out, we're talking. We're saying, okay, Luke is saying left. Okay, I'm going left. Hey, we playing this. And I'm looking at Kurt. Boom, boom. And that's it. We got to line up from there.
I think this is all fascinating stuff. The Zoke and I are going to try to work in a couple questions here as these two safeties, one older and one younger.
Why would we do that?
Go jaw to jaw. I don't know. Maybe we won't I think about it. Panther, we got to take a break now, though. Panthers cheetah deep into the inside. Oh, yeah. There's a throw intercepted. Kuechly to the 50. Left side 40 to the 35. Bumped out of bounds inside the 30-yard line by Hoyer. Newton checks it down to Stewart to the 10, to the 5.
Oh.
Leaves right side. Touchdown.
Yeah, we did a good job. We got a win, and, you know, we did some really good things on defense. I thought the guys up front did a good job. The guys in the back end played really hard. There's some things we can get better at, but I think for the most part, guys are going to be happy with what we did.
This is Panther Talk, presented by McDonald's on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
You're listening to the Panthers Radio Network. You may be watching us on Spectrum. And tune in. We invite you to tune in and look at us and see why we love being on the radio. The most mediagenic of the four up here is definitely Mike Adams, safety, Carolina Panthers. And, Mike, your career has spanned the evolution of some playing rules in the NFL from the Pat Benatar hit me with your best shot mindset to now it's more like Dan Hill sometimes when we touch, there's going to be a flag. What kind of an adjustment has that been for professional hitters like you?
That definitely has been a huge adjustment. Just because, you know, safety protocol one, protecting yourself and, like, protecting another opponent. And the hardest part about it is seeing someone coming full speed at you and you having to react like this to put your head up, keep your head up, don't go helmet to helmet, and make a form tackle, a perfect tackle, basically. Because if you think about it, if a wide receiver, their first instinct when they're about to get hit, they cringe. So sometimes as a defender, we're coming in so fast, we're not aiming at your head. We're aiming at your chest, the area you're supposed to. But as a receiver or a running back, sometimes they cringe and cause you to go helmet to helmet. And that's where some of the flags come in at. And that's where I think things get a little iffy.
Odell Beckham Jr. took a legal hit to the knees in the preseason, so he missed the regular season opener. Then Larry Fitzgerald said he would pay the fine for anyone who goes high on him. He'd rather be hit high than in the knees. Do you kind of respect that a little bit as far as even what's legal and what makes sense is kind of a little bit different in terms of how you lay that out, because you don't want to lose your knees on a legal hit either, right?
Yeah, so it's hard. You know, who's to say what? Because our job as a defender, if we don't tackle you, we probably won't be on the team.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, our job is to get you down by any means necessary. So they got rid of the horse collar. Now, if you're in the end, you run into the end zone, and the only thing I can grab is bat you right here.
I'm gonna grab it.
It's gonna be a flag, but I'm gonna grab it. So to stop you from getting a touchdown. So if I do grab it, you don't score, and we get out in this first down, we stop you, second stop you, third stop you, you go for a fourth down, we stop you. Now it's a goal line stand.
Mm-hmm.
You win. You can win a game like that, and then on Tuesday you'll get an envelope.
And what does that envelope say?
You have been fined $20,000, you know, for that. But your teammates and everybody looking at you like, yeah. But you're looking at this envelope like, I got to pay. I just have to pay for – I pay for –
You want to borrow this? You can pass it around the locker and collect some money.
Is it deductible as a business expense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Cost of doing business.
Yeah, that, exactly. The cost of doing business.
All we get is highlighters and scotch tape.
Yeah.
They get 20 GER.
Well, they live in the violence and effort world.
That's true.
You know, we were talking earlier, you know, about the linebacker play here. And before I go to Luke Kuechly, I want to talk about Shaq and Thomas Davis.
Okay.
Just the speed alone, it has to be a comforting thing as a safety when you look up there, and not only the front seven, but your linebackers are just flying to the ball.
Oh, yeah. I clean up. I'm not going to go in there and hit nobody because I'm going to wait because they're fast enough. So I'm going to wait till they go do the dirty work, and then I get the glory. I go make the tackle. So, but that's the way this defense is built. The linebackers, they run to the ball and scrape. And run. If you see Luke Kuechly, how he just runs to the ball, and then it's like see ball, get ball.
Yes.
It's see ball, get ball with them. As soon as they see it, they go, boom. And it's amazing just from the back end seeing how they work and seeing how fast, even Shaq. And the mismatches, we don't worry too much about, like, a tight end or a running back coming out because our linebackers can run with anybody.
You got something, Zuck? Did you skip yours to go to Eugene?
No.
But
I do want to ask about Luke as well. So we were talking about that play. In fact, we talked about it with Coach Rivera, the interception that Luke Kuechly made. And he commented today about how much film study he had done, going back to Shanahan when he was with Cleveland, when he was in Atlanta, and knowing this play formation and the way he got that interception. So talk about just that, putting all that work in, all the film study, and then how it paid off on game day with that one play.
Oh, a lot goes into it. Actually, I got in early, and I was watching film with Luke this past week, and we was going over some stuff that I really didn't understand and how he was moving. He would make calls and move the defensive line a certain way. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I never seen nobody like him just call out plays before they run them. Like, he's that smart. Like, he's one of the smartest linebackers I've ever been around and ever played with. And that's It is. That's saying a lot. Right. 14 years, and he's just like, he's phenomenal out there. He's just calling stuff. Oh, they're gonna run the league. Okay, let me move over. I'm moving over now. Luke said he's gonna run it. So, and I just tip my hat off to him for all the film study and everything he does.
He'd be a great caddy on a golf course to him.
Yeah. Luke would?
Yeah, man. Didn't you sit right there? I mean, cut the corner.
Yeah, he could carry a lot of bags too. That's for sure.
Hands to McCaffrey. McCaffrey coming near side, splits two defenders to the 50, still fighting.
He might have a first down.
They're going to run the table on this drive.
Unreal.
We talk all the time in backed up football to, you know, we want to get the ball out, get two first downs. To turn that backed up with 8 minutes to go into a four-minute hammer type offense and end with kneels in this league is hard to do. So, you know, credit to the runners, credit to the guys up front. That was probably our best thing we did on the day.
Panther Talk continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Mick, Eugene, the Zook, Mike Adams. The next question for safety, Mike Adams on Panther Talk, goes to number 41, Eugene Robinson.
And this question actually is something I want you to relate to. Did you always want to play football, and did you ever play any other sports other than football to help prepare you for football?
I always wanted to play football. I remember being in the backyard just playing football all the time, and my mother and grandmother say, when them streetlights come on, make sure we get back in the house. I also played baseball. So I don't know, did that help? Probably helped me tracking the ball well. From when I'm playing safety, from the safety standpoint, you know, tracking the ball, because you know in baseball I play center field, so tracking the ball was a big thing. Maybe I can relate.
Any basketball at all? And so you were three sports guy?
Yeah, I was three sports. I played basketball. I was a shooter. I wasn't much of a dribbler. I was Steph Curry. I was Steph Curry before Steph Curry.
Mike, we love Coach Rivera around here. We've developed a lot of appreciation for Coach, and he treats us well, and he's fun to talk ball with. How would you describe him to somebody who had played NFL football but who didn't know Coach?
Well, just meet him. He seemed like a laid-back coach. He really accepts information. He gathers everything, and everything is well thought of before he speaks it. You can see that his presence. He has a huge presence. When he walks in the room, you know, he commands the room. You can tell everybody like what he has to say now. You know, and that's how I saw him when I first met him, and I was just like, okay, how you doing, Ron? Like, you know, he has such a big presence about him. And he always has something knowledgeable to say because, you know, he's been through the fire. He's been through it, you know, so he understands what players go through, you know. He understands, like, how far you can push a player. And he asks about you. How's everything going? How's the family going? He cares, you know. Yeah. As a head coach, that's huge.
Nice. Mike Adams, our guest.
Panther Talk continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Hey, it's Mick, Jeannie Robb, the Zook, Mike Adams. Zook, we got about a minute and change left with our guest tonight.
So, Mike, I began by mentioning communications major, and as we saw, great speaker, is he not, Mike
Indeed.
Adams? Absolutely so. Is that something you'd follow up on or post-career maybe look at doing broadcasting
yes.
or something with that?
Yeah, I plan on letting y'all keep y'all job for a while.
Well, there's other places. There's 32 teams.
I did broadcast boot camp a little bit in on the off season just to get a feel for what I want to do. So I might look into it. I don't know.
I think you do well, don't you?
Indeed.
No. Bad.
I mean in New Jersey.
A lot better. Set your goals higher than this. Hardware, lawn maintenance, roofing, that kind of thing when you get out.
Oh, man. That's hard for me.
Appreciate you being on, though, Mike. Indeed. And if we can help you in any way, let us know. Continued good luck with the Panthers this year.
Indeed, thank you. Thanks man. For having me. I appreciate
all right,
it.
That is
appreciate
great. It. Mike you. Adams, two-time Pro Bowler, and the best is yet to be. Good show, fellas. Appreciate
you
y'all.
You too. I thought you did great.
All right. I thought your part was good. So for Eugene Robinson, for Jim Zoki, for our law enforcement officers, for the United States Marines that are here, we'll see you next time.
for another edition of Panther Talk.
This has been Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network. This is the Carolina Panthers.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.